Welcome to the Corporate Data Show, a podcast dedicated to helping marketing professionals leverage data to generate revenue. Whether you're looking for techniques and strategies or tools and resources, you've come to the right place. Now for our host and CEO of Every Market Media, Rick Holmes.
Welcome back to the Corporate Data Show, folks. Today is May the 12th. I'm Rick Holmes, your over-enthusiastic host here for you on a Wednesday. My guest today on the Corporate Data Show is Ed Locher. He's a VP of Marketing at HG Insights. Ed, my man, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, totally. Nice to talk a little bit with you. Question, for the folks who don't know out there, in a quick nutshell, what does HG Insights do?
HG Insights is the preeminent provider of technology intelligence that gives go-to-market teams and other parts of your organization actionable intel to improve your performance. That includes finding the best customers, the right segments, the right personas, the right messaging. It really is the difference between building your plan on assumptions and generalizations and a prioritized list from 1 to 500 of who are the highest companies with the highest propensity to buy.
Yeah, no, it's a big thing that I see customers struggle with. We do a little bit now, are starting in the services business, writing copy and doing some other things from folks. And one of the big challenges everybody has before they're filling contacts is filling accounts. And then you go look at their accounts list and you're like, is this really who you sell to? Because based on the product you're telling me you have, that doesn't make very much sense. Oh, well, we just downloaded this stuff from so-and-so and, you know, it's supposed to be targeted. Okay. They don't do the figure out who your buyer part is for you. You have to do that. I don't know how many people just like totally skip that step. It's crazy. But hey, besides talking a minute for outbound as we do to get everybody chuckling, the topic this week that we discussed during soundcheck, we're talking about historical data today. Both of our businesses have been around for a while. Mine's here since 2013. You guys are older than us, I think, 2010.
Yeah, we celebrated 10 years last year, so 2011.
2011, that's awesome. So in that time, obviously, you can make quite a pile of, well, in the mining business, they call them tailings. We'll call it historical data. We'll call it exhaust. We'll probably call it a couple things today. And in a summary, during the sound check, we talked, most people think that historical data means not fit for marketing purposes. Is that a pretty succinct way talking about this for a starter, Ed?
Well, I wouldn't go out and specifically buy historical data, run a campaign. That is true.
Yeah. Downright probably break stuff doing that even.
That's right.
Probably break stuff. And certainly not at the account level, maybe, but on our side anyways, if you use stuff out of the historical pile, not only are you going to have a tremendous bounce rate and a complaint, but you might be asking people who have not been asked to be contacted anymore. So we can't use it for marketing. What can we use it for?
Well, you can use it for marketing. You can use it to make your marketing better. And I mean, you just talked about like those tailings have a life of their own and can tell a story and can be a very valuable resource in helping you understand what the trajectory is of those customers that you do care about. It's always a case of there is value there. You just have to be thoughtful and disciplined and ask those tough questions that you alluded to, right? You can't skip steps, but historical data can absolutely provide you a cleaner, more powerful list if you use it appropriately.
For sure. Yeah. And you know, when we broadly use the word data too, it opens up a ton of options about the historical what? The historical purchase history, right? What kind of things are we analyzing? Right. Sometimes historical data, as you point out, is very useful. I just thought of this now, but like, well, it's historical. This used to be our best account. We lost it. Why? Do they go out of business? Do they do whatever? Definitely, as we're talking about it, you can use it to analyze why you might have lost deals or why you might have won deals before. What other like data points, so we can be more specific about the data we're talking about? I can talk about a couple of mine too. But what data points specifically do you guys like to hold on to keep track of over time? Like address fields, website? These are some of the things we track on historically and over time and then, you know, eventually shuffle the junk to the bottom.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a standard set that most people would immediately glom onto. But, you know, even things like the types of descriptors people use in their job postings. You can tell a lot about where a company is in their evolution by the type of people that they're hiring. We also spend a lot of time tracking the technology that people use. And there's just some really interesting use cases that underpin that. Because again, there are companies in their evolution reach these seminal moments. Maybe you are on a homegrown CRM for a while and you went out, you bought Salesforce. Okay, that may signal to other types of organizations that might be interested in knowing that that company is now building a foundation of automation and are able to scale and therefore would be ripe to hear your message. Maybe Anaplan would be a great thing to add to that. You're moving into the cloud now. So there's a lot of really interesting things from a timestamp perspective. Okay. And so historical to me is a powerful word.
Yep. Do you think it's got to come with a time and date to be useful historically? I think it certainly helps. Yeah.
And
it can having the buyer right. types in your CRM too, for all kinds of leads that come through. If you don't get that in right away, you're just going to end up with a huge uncategorized pile of stuff.
And again, the curation and the hygiene surrounding that stuff is the difference between a good historical database and a bad one. So if you're not staying on top of it, historical typically means dysfunction.
Did you ever find that folks are using your technology to vet a lead on like a form fill before it's routed to sales? They're using any attributes for that? I'm trying to think of some of the various like fintech solutions that sometimes get used this way to filter before something goes to sales. You know, check to see if this email's legit, check to see if it's, you know, a bunch of, do you have any customers doing that sort of stuff? Like lead scoring off of?
So lead scoring and stuff like that, for sure. And against your ideal customer profile, a lot of companies don't even know what the attributes are.
They're not even in a bucket. They don't even have a name for the bucket.
Right. And so helping those companies, you know, there's the crawl, walk, run analogy, and helping them just recognize, okay, here are your best types of customers, right? Now we can help you go find ones that look like that, sort of the show me where, show me there type of model. But from a technology perspective, from AHG, we actually, rather than waiting until the form complete to vet that, we can provide that list to organizations that, okay, you can be confident that every single work account on this list should be a customer of yours for X dollars in ARR every year. And so if you're spending your money against that, there isn't, and you get somebody to raise their hand from that very specific target account list, there's no need to vet further than that. Like, we've all decided these are the accounts we want.
Yep.
Here's somebody from that account, get them going.
Yeah. And also a great attribution scheme to get management to keep giving marketing money. And I mean, when you're one of these small businesses getting grip, you're not usually getting grip on 5 marketing channels. You're probably getting grip on a couple. And if you're getting grip on outbound, especially, like, there shouldn't be, I say this to people all the time, and you can't start filling in contacts until you have the accounts. And then every person at that account is that buyer type. And so this stuff is all very helpful in people defining before they just go out and, man, do the thing that gives, at least in my world, cold emailers the worst name is being lazy with what's going in your list. Like, if you don't know what pain the customer has, you really shouldn't send them a message. I almost never even encourage large volume B2B sends. I'm almost always like, do you have SDRs? No, this is probably not for you.
I'm right there with you. I've never said this out loud before, so I'll test it. Very rarely means better.
Yeah. Yep. It does. Totally. That's a good example I heard in a book maybe or whatever was like, Harvard would be great if they just let everybody in, you know, like, wait a minute. No, it wouldn't. Like, wouldn't it be great if we had 1 million prospects? Well, yeah, it would. But you don't have 1 million prospects. Is this a customer you really want to add? Right? Is it going to be a pain in your butt? You don't really know. Yep. The customer is going to tell you.
Absolutely. There are things such as bad customers, and just getting them into the process does not help you.
No. And people will, again, a board sales team or whatever will engage it to have something to do and say they engage it. And then they'll cry at marketing and be like, these leads are terrible.
Yeah.
That's my whiny salesperson voice. Sales bro gets this. Look, I did my time in cold calling, so I get to talk a little smack about salespeople's call reluctance. Most of them do work very hard. Thank you, salespeople. I love you a long time. Managed large teams of them, and they are super sometimes. Super sometimes. probably like I'm a super manager sometimes. So, all right, let me wrap a little on what we got over here, and we'll send this thing into the locker, and we're welcome back after a long winter of bacon data. Now we got a little summertime, do some fun content. On our side, historical data typically means, and I have a few types, but either a bad website, I can be very specific with mine, bad website or a bad email. And by bad, I mean email not likely to deliver, or a domain unlikely to connect to a web page that has business content on it. And then if it does connect to the business website, the content on there doesn't support what we have on record generally for the business. So if I've got you down as a lumber shop and I visit your website and it's a lumber shop and a few other points check out, you're going to get a grade pretty high, AB. If instead the robots go to your website and find that it is not connected, you're going to get a D or an F because your site's not up or it's under construction. And the example I use to poke a little fun to some of my favorite listeners out there, we like to have an alternative to the funds number, the sort of like the domain level authoritative. Do you guys have this company hierarchies like sites versus HQ?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So some of these things are just necessary to make those determinations from our side. I got to look at all the addresses and how many of them are valid from which sites. And again, in 100% in my case, if you use this stuff for marketing data, it wouldn't even just be ineffective. It would be detrimental. However, to bring this full circle, to make good data, you have to make bad data. That's what I want to say to folks. That doesn't mean putting data in there that is bad for you, right? Like subjectively good data with an email delivers still doesn't mean it's a customer for you necessarily. So I think when our customers are curating stuff, we want them to be looking at them in tiny little bits. And when we're talking about historical data, we're using that to serve up, well, most often a deliverable email or a valid business, and the rest of the categorization is on you. So we have to create that exhaust to give the customers good records. And that results over here in a whole lot of bad records, which incidentally are very useful in producing good records and then not repurchasing bad ones. So cool. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. I had a wonderful time. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Engaging, thought about a couple of things. Marketers, salespeople, hate mail. Ed, how do you want people to get in touch with you for that sort of thing?
Yeah, through LinkedIn is a great idea. Ed Locher, LOCHER. There I reside.
There on LinkedIn, you will find our guy, Ed. If you want to learn anything more about HG Insights products, you can get to their site, hginsights.com. If you want to learn anything more about Every Market Media products, you go to everymarketmedia.com. We are enthusiastically hiring over here, by the way, Ed, if you know any smart kids that you're not hiring. Seems unlikely, right? But if you did, I'd be suspicious for sure. But no, we're enthusiastically hiring. Everymarketmedia.com/careers is my short plug for the new webpage. And that's it. We'll be back next week or the following week with another super interesting guest.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for listening to the Corporate Data Show. Do you have a topic or guest idea? We want to hear from you. Reach out by sending an email to marketing@everymarketmedia.com. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. Until next time.